Hey everybody, and welcome to a brand new episode of SmackDown Summary here on Inside the Ropes. My name is Kenny McIntosh, your host as always, joined by my co-host, the voluptuous, the vivacious, the Michiganian, or Michigander, whatever the fuck you call it.
Michigander.
Sondra Ruth Wesseldyke Reinstein. Not to be confused with Harvey Weinstein. She is not related to him.
Okay, first of all, it's Weinstein, right?
You're
Harvey
him.
Weinstein.
Okay.
No, well, him. Okay. It's Reinstein, Weinstein. It's very different. Yes,
I mean, it's not that different. It's not.
Well,
it's literally saying tomato, tomato. They're very different words. You go, well,
they're
very
are
similar.
Very different words. And also, I don't want to be grouped with that. That's just not. No. No.
Sondra
no.
will no longer be no, a part no. of Inside the Ropes as she goes to sex therapy.
Yeah, that's it.
This is episode number 69 of the SmackDown Summary, funnily enough.
Oh, that's true, it is.
There you go.
Timing.
Thought we'd have a wee sex joke to begin things.
Of course.
Nothing funnier than sexual abuse that's all too prevalent in the world now. I feel like the thing is, like, I don't want to know who's sexually abused who, because I feel like if I find everybody out, I'm not going to be able to enjoy any form of entertainment anywhere in the world.
People like, are creeps, man. People are creeps.
But then, so there's two sides, isn't there? There's the sexual harassment that goes on that's terrible, and then there's, like, the blown out of proportion, blown up kind of sexual harassment stuff that then is just as bad. So, I mean, you basically should just, like, cocoon yourself in a room and just watch entertainment and not find out what happens behind the scenes. It would be my advice.
Yeah.
So
it's not
anyway,
a bad plan.
We are heading towards Survivor Series this Sunday. A very, very, very interesting episode of SmackDown Live to take us into into Survivor Series. I just want to say, I know it's not been hitting for you, but I've got to say, I think they've nailed the last few weeks of television on both sides, kind of getting people excited about the pay per view and about stuff going on. And I think, you know, last year they had Goldberg, which was kind of the big selling point, right? Or one of the big selling points for the show. And they don't have that this year. And I think this year, actually, I'm maybe more excited for this one than I am for last year's one, which is a testament, I think. But there's very high expectations, which can be good or bad, depending on what they do
right
on Sunday. Because I guess one of the most intriguing things about this show is whether you look at Raw or SmackDown, there are key players not involved in matches. On Raw, you've got Kane. You've got... Who else on Raw is not in a match? Kane's probably the main one that's not involved. And then on SmackDown, you've got, like, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens. Where are they going to get involved? Because, I mean, I would assume they would. But anyway, should we get into the show?
Yeah, I think we should. I mean, the people who aren't involved in the matches are the most intriguing part of Survivor Series for me, honestly. Like, finding out what Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn plan to do. What's Rusev going to do? What, you know, is Aiden English going to accompany Rusev and Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens and do something? What's Jinder Mahal going to do? Jinder Mahal was just the world champion, and now he is not, and he is not on the card. And I find that very intriguing. I know, you're so excited. But it's fascinating, though, to go from being WWE champion to not booked on a card. I feel like he might show up. I kind of hope he does. I'm going to try and just, you know, sit back and enjoy Survivor Series for what it is, if it doesn't provide me with as many shenanigans as I feel are possible. But wouldn't it be cool if all of the, you know, the non-involved guys, especially on the SmackDown side, but also, you know, Kane, and I'm trying to think, it seems like there was somebody else on Raw that I was thinking might start to get involved. Oh, Jason Jordan.
Yeah, there you go. Jason Jordan and Kane. And I mean, I'll say this right now before we talk about SmackDown. I think that 5-on-5 men's match has to headline.
Yes.
I think that's the... So many intriguing possibilities in that match.
Well, that one, or, I mean, AJ versus Brock. AJ versus Brock feels main event too. I mean, either way.
Well, I feel like it depends. If AJ and Brock are going to go 15 to 20 minutes, then yeah, sure. If they're going to go 6 or 7 minutes, it probably shouldn't go on last.
Yeah, that's true.
It's like a kind of managing expectation thing. But I think that I'm kind of with you. I'm going to try and enjoy it for what it is, but I am expecting shenanigans ahoy.
Yes, and that's exactly what I want. I want them to get involved in, like, every match. amazing.
So we kick off the show this week with Shane's backstage giving a speech to the SmackDown roster, some of whom are in matches, some of whom are not. Kevin and Sammy at the back are just looking utterly, you know, disdained that they're even having to be in the room for this. You know, Shane talks about how, you know, they need to be on, they all need to be on the same page because tonight might be the night that Raw retaliates. This Sunday they're going to be the dominant brand. They've no longer been known as the B Show. They're going to be the show. He talked with Becky Lynch and said that, you know, Asuka had said that she would break the entire SmackDown roster, and Becky said that the only thing broken come Sunday would be Asuka's arm. Great line by Becky.
Did the idea of Becky versus Asuka just send chills down your spine? Because it did for me.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful. And I think that that's the thing, that if they can keep what they're doing, like, and they, I think they've done a good job the last 2 years where you don't really get much crossover between Raw and SmackDown, which is why these events tend to work. Because if it is only really once a year, twice if you include the Rumble, there's a little bit of interaction, then it feels quite special that you don't really get to see the opposite sides going against each other. Shane asks Baron Corbin, you know, if would he shut Miz up? And then, you know, Corbin says Sunday will be the end of days. Shane said, and this was interesting, Shane says that, you know, Raw has added his brother-in-law, Triple H, to the team. Shane and Triple H in a ring, Sondra. Like, I mean,
that's certainly a thing that's happening.
Because, like, these, they have not one time been on screen together the entire 18 months that Shane's been back.
Yeah.
There has been no interaction from them whatsoever. So that could be interesting. But then Shane said, you know, they might have Triple H, but we've added John Cena to Team SmackDown. Nobody's going to stop Team Blue, but it's Kurt Angle, Stephanie. When he turned to the New Day, asked them about the Shield, and then the New Day start a SmackDown Rocks chant. They all kind of join in, and that's kind of...
Except for Kevin and Sammy, who still look pissed.
Exactly, as they should be, because they're not on the card.
Right.
What did you think of this kind of backstage open with the roster and kind of trying to rally the troops, I guess, to try and get them pumped for Sunday and aware of any sort of attacks coming?
I mean, it was a very weird segment. It was a different way to open SmackDown, so I like that they tried something different. It was kind of cringy in a way, but also kind of worked, because it was like, I get that Shane is trying to rally the troops, and he's basically just having a pep rally for Team SmackDown, right? Which is fine. I think because I'm still a little frustrated with Shane McMahon, I was just kind of like, oh, okay, I get what you're doing, whatever, you're rallying the troops. And, you know, he did get people pumped up, so that was good. And I like the detail of Kevin and Sammy sitting in the back being angry. And then, I mean, Becky Lynch getting to have that line about breaking Asuka's arm was fantastic. So overall, I liked it.
I think what I like about it is there's a lot of layers to it. You know, like the idea that Shane and Kurt Angle is one of the layers, but Shane and Triple H is another one. But, like, you know, Nakamura and Samoa Joe, they feuded in NXT, and there's all, like, you could basically go off both sides and there's loads of things you could pick up on. Then we get Daniel Bryan coming down, he makes his return, and he said that he was lucky to be there after Kane attacked him, but that's what made him a lot like SmackDown. If they get knocked down, they get back up and hit you twice as hard. He said that Raw was afraid and embarrassed, that's why they added Triple H to the team. You know, it's the 25th anniversary of Raw's coming up, they ransacked the place. Bryan said he didn't agree with it because he knew how vindictive Stephanie is, but they're ready for Raw tonight as they turn up. He said he was proud of SmackDown, and he said, you know, we've announced John Cena as our fifth member, but here's the new WWE champion, AJ Styles. He brings out AJ, huge reaction for AJ. Then Bryan said that, you know, they pride themselves in treating their champions better than Raw do, and that, you know, the champion of the universe has a personal advocate, so he'd like to know, he'd like to be AJ Styles' personal advocate for tonight. And he did a bit of a Paul Heyman shtick where he was saying, you know, last night Paul Heyman gave a speech and, you know, he agreed with most of it except from the fact that, you know, Paul Heyman said that Brock Lesnar would brutalize and victimize AJ Styles. Bryan then called Brock Lesnar a quitter, said that he quit on WWE years ago. He quit to a half-assed knee bar at UFC pay-per-view. Every time someone pushes Brock Lesnar into deep water, he quits, and nobody's more qualified to push him into those deep waters than AJ Styles. Brock is big and strong, but AJ is mentally big and strong. He would mentally make Brock Lesnar quit. He said that Paul Heyman gave 5 reasons to order the network, but Bryan only gives you 1, and that's if you want to see a 6'3", 285-pound man mentally quit to the greatest wrestler of this generation, AJ Styles. AJ then grabs the mic and says that, you know, I can talk. I'm not a puppet like Brock Lesnar. And then AJ says that on Sunday he agrees with Paul Heyman that he'll be the underdog and he wouldn't have it any other way, and he'll prove that SmackDown's the A-show and this is the house that AJ Styles built. Now, before I ask you what you thought of this promo, all I'm going to say is I want people to just think about how excited they are for this match and how excited they were for the previous champion versus champion match. And I think that we all have the answer to our question.
Yes, I think we do. Daniel Bryan is on fire, right? Like, Daniel Bryan was absolutely on fire last night. The whole promo was incredible. I mean, I love Daniel Bryan is so good at this now, right? Like, remember when Daniel Bryan couldn't cut a promo very well and he couldn't speak? Those days are long gone.
I don't even remember those days now.
I mean, it's baffling to think about, right? Because Daniel Bryan is so good. I love the lines when he was like, Brock Lesnar's arms are big. Brock Lesnar's arms are strong. You know, Brock Lesnar's head is big. Brock Lesnar's head is thick. And, you know, like going, he went off on Brock Lesnar, like saying that he tapped to a half-ass knee bar. I mean, it was probably a pretty good knee bar, to be fair. But like, just all the shade he was throwing at Brock Lesnar and then imitating Paul Heyman. Ladies and gentlemen, my name is Daniel Bryan. And I just thought the whole thing was absolutely great. Like, as if I wasn't already excited for AJ versus Brock, because I was, just by virtue of it being AJ versus Brock. I mean, Daniel Bryan got me even more into the idea of AJ versus Brock Lesnar. And, you know, and AJ coming back with, I can talk, I'm not a puppet like Brock Lesnar. The whole thing was just so good and such an effective use of Daniel Bryan. It did make me a little angry that we never got to see Daniel Bryan versus Brock Lesnar, because I was looking forward to that match so much. And I know Daniel Bryan was too. And I was just kind of like, oh man, now I really want to see that match even more, dang it, because Daniel Bryan can throw shade at Brock Lesnar and seem like he's on that level to do that. It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy how good this was. I loved it. I loved everything about it.
See, I don't think this match was as sold as it needed to be before this promo. I think the last night it still felt like, it's a Brock Lesnar match and it's going to be good because it's AJ Styles, but I didn't feel like any stakes to it. I didn't feel like there was any real, like, you know, rivalry. And then AJ and Daniel Bryan managed to completely sell me on what the story is. Oh, they think Brock Lesnar's a big fat quitter who always quits, and he's going to mentally take care of him on Sunday. And I was like, that's the story. That's the story.
And if AJ can push Brock Lesnar to a longer match before, you know, getting beaten by the Beast, then Brock Lesnar's going to, you know, he's going to quit. He's not going to want to go the distance. He's not going to want to go 20 minutes or 30 minutes with AJ Styles, right? So that's an excellent story. And that sets up really good in-ring storytelling potential as well.
It does. Do you know the last time that Brock Lesnar had over a 10-minute match? A singles match, not the four-way, which he had at SummerSlam this year. But can you remember the last 10-minute plus match that he had?
Was Dean Ambrose over 10 minutes?
That is not the correct answer.
No idea. I really don't know. Was it Triple H?
The last over 10-minute match he had was at last year's SummerSlam against Randy Orton, where they
went
11 minutes and 45 seconds. I think the story is probably going to be, because it seems to be the story they're telling with everybody, is that once Brock hits an F5, you're done. And I don't think that AJ is going to be the guy that kicks out of one of those. But that's fine, because you can still tell the story of Brock trying to get on him, and can he get it, and, you know, AJ can get out of it in loads of ways. That's still quite captivating to watch. So I just hope that they have either, if it goes on last, I want it to be an epic one. If it goes on last and it's a 6-minute match, I'm going to be disappointed.
Yeah.
So just let's end it on a high. Unless they're going to, I mean, I'm going to wait and see, but I'm excited about it. This promo got me so into this. So I'm all in.
Oh, yeah.
AJ Styles bumps into Jinder Mahal backstage. He said that after, Jinder says that after Brock Lesnar rips him in half, he's going to pick up the pieces and reclaim his WWE Championship. Styles just didn't sell it and walked off. So I guess maybe Clash of Champions in December, we're going to get Jinder's rematch against AJ, which, you know, that's fine.
Given that their match last week was actually good, it doesn't fill me with the sense of dread that it did. So
yeah, it could be fine.
I don't want Jinder to win it back, obviously.
I mean, the fact that India has been cut down to one night and Triple H is going over does not spell that he is going to win the title back, but
right.
Maybe he could. I mean, I think AJ seems to... It's funny. AJ Styles... What's really interesting is Jinder Mahal as champion did not work for me, and AJ Styles, when he wasn't champion, didn't work for me. Now AJ as champion works for me, and now Jinder not champion works for me.
Yeah. Yeah, everything feels like it's more in place right now, right? And that's something we said about SmackDown for a long time, was that it felt like the talent was there, but everyone was just in the wrong place. And it feels like everything's kind of shifting to the way it should be. When AJ Styles came out with that championship on last night, I was like, this just feels right. Like, he feels like the WWE champion. It feels like the WWE championship and he belong together. So I'm pleased with the current state of things.
And I'm not saying, I know it might sound like hyperbole, it's not because of gender, like, because, like I say, I did give him the props last week.
You
know,
you
because,
did.
Because I do, it's funny, I do think of his reign as very problematic and I wasn't a fan of it. I stand by everything I said about the reign. I don't take any of it back. My only thing that makes me kind of, not reconsider, but maybe kind of second guess myself was all that worth it and the death of Nakamura for that moment last week? I don't know. Maybe it was. Maybe it was worth it for that. I'm still undecided. But what I will say is, no, I'll leave that to the end. Anyway, Sin Cara, Baron Corbin's next for the US title. Sin Cara got quite a lot of offense in. He was doing a lot of dives to the outside. But in the end, he did a swanton and Corbin avoided it. Pulled in Sin Cara for the end of days and got the win. It was fun for what it was. And Corbin going on at Survivor Series is definitely the right move compared to Sin Cara. So it was fine. I had no problems with it.
Yeah, I think this was probably the most fun match of this whole entire ongoing forever series of theirs. It was fine. Like, Sin Cara's not great. Like, he's just not. And Baron Corbin's not great either. He's just not. So it's hard to be super into it. But I think it helped that the crowd was really into the match. They actually helped quite a bit, I think. I think the crowd was actually pretty good all night. But it still bothers me that we can see Sin Cara's eyes. That's the main issue that I have, is I don't understand. And in the
Explain why you have a problem with this.
Okay, because the eyes are a part of the face, right? Sin Cara means without face. It's supposed to mean faceless. And if you can see his eyes, that indicates that he has a face. And so it's a misnomer, and it bothers me.
I mean, that's fair. It doesn't keep me awake at night, but I understand it.
Well, it doesn't keep me awake at night, but it creeps me out when I have to look at his eyes on TV.
I really wish I'd got one of those Sin Cara gold cock t-shirts.
Just to have, like,
just
a big
have
Jesus
it.
T-shirt?
Yeah, just to have a big dick on a t-shirt with Sin Cara on it, because it's just so, you know, it's so him. Anyway.
Did they end up pulling those shirts, or did they just sell out of them?
You know, they pulled them. They absolutely pulled them. Because Mattel were like, what the fuck are you doing?
Why do you have a penis on the shirt for your wrestler?
we had a recap of all the conflict of Raw and SmackDown. It was a very good video, actually. If people hadn't been watching the last few weeks, I think it was quite, you know, it was quite good. Give you all the bits you need to know. Daniel Bryan speaks to Shane McMahon backstage. Shane says, you know, the most important thing for a SmackDown right now is cohesion. Bryan agrees. They seem to be on the same page. And then Shane starts to say something else, and Bryan stops him and goes, well, after Sunday, we need to have a conversation. And Shane's like, oh, about what? And he said, cohesion. He said, you know, you never consulted me about the raid. And then I went there to try and make peace, and I got assaulted. And then Shane tries to apologize, but Bryan just throws up his hands and says, I'll see you on Sunday, and walks away. And what I thought was really clever about this was, I like the different ways, I know you detest some of the Shane stuff, but what I like about it is the multi-layers of it, because I understand why Shane, the character, did what he did. He's sick of Stephanie and Triple H getting Raw and the main show and more draft picks and more time and blah, 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 blah. So he wants to make a statement. I understand it, but the way he went about it was the wrong way to go about it. And now he's suffering for the consequences of the way he went about it. And then he clearly feels bad. You know, he never intended for Daniel Bryan to get hurt, but that's one of the consequences of what he did. And I think it's interesting to watch this play out and see what... I mean, this to me... I think Daniel Bryan might be turning heel.
I don't want... Shane McMahon is the heel. How is Daniel Bryan the heel in this situation?
Just watch. All I'm saying is, when Shane is trying to apologize now and kind of be, you know, I'm sorry and whatever, and Bryan throws up his hand and says, he'll see you on Sunday, it's a tease. It's a tease of something coming.
I just feel like this is going to be another situation, like, Sami Zayn being a quote-unquote heel right now, when he does not feel like a heel to me, because he feels like he is completely correct. And
also, he's one of your favorites. That does play a large part in
that. Also, he's one of my favorites. Also, so is Daniel Bryan. So whatever. Like, I'm going to be very...
Like, you can't be like, he's not a heel, because I like him. Like, we like most of the
heels. I know that I can't be like, he's like a heel because I like him, but I can say he's not a heel because he's right. Like, Shane McMahon attacking... And I understand what you're saying. I understand the motivations in Shane McMahon's mind, especially because Shane McMahon is an arrogant asshole, so of course he would want to strike first, right? I understand the motivations there. I don't think he should have done it. Like you said, the way he went about striking first against Raw was the wrong way to go about things. So I love that stern dad Daniel Bryan is going to have a talk with Shane McMahon and say, you know what, I don't agree with you. I want to have a conversation about cohesion and about, you know, us running the show together, because you need to consult me before you do things. I feel like Shane McMahon feels like the heel when he lords it over Daniel Bryan, that he was like, well, I just made a decision. And Daniel Bryan's like, I'm supposed to be in charge of this show too.
I don't think Daniel Bryan's going to talk about cohesion. That's not what I think he's going to do.
I don't want to see a heel Daniel Bryan against, like, because there's no payoff there. Like, what's the payoff to a heel Daniel Bryan? One of the most delightful things about Daniel Bryan is when he does stuff, like at the beginning of this episode, when he is delightful face general manager Daniel Bryan. You know, I don't really like heel authority figures the way they're done WWE.
If Daniel Bryan was a heel manager for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, sign me up.
Okay, that could be great.
Anyway.
If Daniel Bryan joins Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn, yes. Yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I would be very okay with that. I think that would be a very interesting dynamic for sure.
Natalia makes her entrance for the match with Charlotte. We get a recap of what happened at Hell in a Cell.
It looked way better in the video package than it did live.
Well, and on TV. It was fine. It was like, oh, is that it? Okay. So they have a match, and... it was better than their Hell in a Cell match. It was, it was the best match they've had together since Roadblock.
I don't think it touched the Roadblock match, but it.
But it's
it was
like the
better
best.
Than Hell in a
it's
Cell
the best together. Effort they've had since then, like,
yes,
for sure. And then towards the end, you know, it's the story is Natalia's got Charlotte in the sharpshooter. Charlotte tries to get to the ropes. She eventually gets there. Natty drags her back in. She gets it again. And then Natalia gets hit with a big boot when she gets back in the ring, and Charlotte applies the figure eight, and she gets the tap out on Natalia and wins the SmackDown Women's title. She's interviewed after the match by Renee. She's catching her breath. She got a bit emotional because she's wanted the SmackDown Women's title ever since the Superstar Shake-Up. Took her longer than she thought it would take, but it feels good to win here in her hometown. As far as Alexa's concerned, there was a Queen of Raw before there was a Goddess, and she would win for Team Blue. And she then talks about her dad having a tough time. Even though he couldn't be here, she wants to dedicate her victory to him. And as she walks to the back, Ric Flair's music hits. And Ric Flair comes out, returns, and hugs Charlotte. And they celebrate. And it was funny. I was watching this while I was chopping up onions to make dinner. So, you know, I just had a little bit of stuff in my eye because I was making onions. And, you know, but it was really good. I enjoyed it.
This was incredible. This was absolutely incredible. I mean, I think the match was good. Like I said, I don't think it was as good as their Roadblock match, but I think it was good, and I got into it, like, because I didn't know who was going to win this match. I stayed off all social media because this was the one that I figured Baron Corbin Singata was going to go the way Baron Corbin Singata did. Charlotte Natalia, I didn't know, and I really, really wanted Charlotte to win. So when Natalia had her in the sharpshooter, I was beside myself. I was yelling at the TV like I do when I watch wrestling, right? I was like, no, you need to get to the rope, da 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 da. And even when I think Charlotte was on the outside at one point, and Natalia was on the outside, and Charlotte goes up to the barricade to try and do a moonsault like a stupid person. I was like, what are you doing? You need to get Natalia back in the ring. You don't want to get counted out. You need to win here because I want it to be you versus Alexa so badly, right? And thankfully it was. Like, when she got her in the figure eight, I was just like, tap, 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 fucking tap out Natalia. And then she did, and I was so, so happy. And I did not expect Ric Flair to come out. I did not expect him at all. Even when his music hit, because Charlotte had just said, you know, even though he couldn't be here today and all that stuff. And then she looked kind of confused at the music, and it lasted for a while. I seriously thought it was going to be Alexa Bliss trolling Charlotte. Like, I thought Alexa Bliss was going to come out in a robe and, like, woo at her or something. And then it was actual Ric Flair, and it was such a sweet moment. And I definitely cried. Of course I did, because I'm ridiculous. But... and no onions were around me. It was just me crying at wrestling.
And,
I'm just saying. But no, it was beautiful. And when I realized at the beginning of the match that they were actually in Charlotte, North Carolina, I was like, oh, fuck. That means Natalya is winning, right? Because I'm still so conditioned to WWE not letting people win in their hometown. And so Charlotte winning in her hometown and then having Ric Flair come out, it was a feel-good moment. And we don't get enough feel-good moments in wrestling, I feel. So it was lovely all around. Absolutely loved it. And I'm way more excited for Charlotte Alexa Bliss than I was for Natalya versus Alexa Bliss.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it was definitely the right move. I was hoping they would do it. I was kind of like, oh, you know, it's in Charlotte. She's called Charlotte. They're going to do it. And I think that added to the drama of it. So it was good. And then the Ric Flair thing was just, oh my god. If you didn't tear up at that, you're a husk of a soul.
Yep.
We got another Bludgeon Brothers promo, which will hopefully put to death the fucking tweets and Facebooks about, they worked in their old gear tonight. Yeah, they worked one on and one off. Calm down, they're still showing vignettes.
Yeah, if they're still showing vignettes, the Bludgeon Brothers are going to be coming next week. Next week, it said, like, Kenny, this gimmick is probably going to be crap, and I don't think I could love it more.
There's a guy in the UK called Timmy Mallett, who was a man who just looks like a paedophile and had a mallet. And whenever I see the mallets of the Bludgeon Brothers, I think of Timmy Mallett. But if you saw Timmy Mallett is actually, I'm going to send you, can you get on your Facebook while we're doing this?
Yes.
Okay. Talk a little bit about the promo. And as we're doing this, I will send you a photo of Timmy Mallett for you to just kind of like give your views on him in a second.
Okay.
But what did you think of the promo?
I mean, the promo was kind of similar to what we've heard. We hear, like, the Darth Vader breathing, the... like, in the background. And then, what was it? Luke Harper says, I can't hear anything but the screams or something like that. And Eric Rowan is talking about how they either feel pain or don't feel pain or something. But I don't know. It's dark and spooky, and they're in a forest, and they have hammers, and they're going to smash everything, and then they, like... bring down their hammers, and they look kind of like the Hammer Brothers hammers from like Super Mario Brothers, which is pretty cool. And I want them to go all out campy with this. Like, I think this gimmick could actually be so ridiculously shit that maybe they could make it work, because I've always loved Harper and Rowan, and I think they've taken stuff and run with it before. Like, Eric Rowan made wearing a lamb mask a thing, and then updated the lamb mask, and it, you know, like, it got creepier, and I got even more into Eric Rowan because, oh man, Timmy Mallett is quite the... What even is that?
Describe Timmy Mallett to the people at home.
So with, Timmy Mallett...
Without using the word pedophile.
I mean, that looks accurate. Wow. So Timmy Mallett is wearing a very brightly colored shirt. Like, it kind of Fresh Prince of Bel-Air neon... Well, it's not really neon. It's like red and green and yellow and blue. He looks like he would be maybe in his 50s, I think.
Accurate.
And he's wearing one of those hats that was also super, super 90s with the checkerboard and some neon stuff. But the mallet itself, I didn't expect the mallet to have a face.
Yep.
Like, the mallet looks a little too excited to be here, to be honest.
Or that the mallet is being forced to be excited.
Maybe. I don't know. The mallet looks like it might be into it, but the mallet also looks devious. Like,
it's
the
a mallet.
Happy to be here?
He's controlling it. It's not the mallet doesn't make a mind of its own. He's drawing it.
You never know.
Well. So, Timmy Mallett and the Bludgeon... I'm just saying, there's a managerial opportunity for Timmy Mallett until all the stories come out
so.
From children who were abused by him, in which case he has to come off TV. Maybe just don't put him on TV. It's not a good idea. Stories will come out. But anyway, the Bludgeon Brothers... Like, I don't really care what the gimmick is. If it's Harper and Rowan wrestling and I get to see them fight the Usos and stuff, I'm fine with it. Like,
yeah.
I'm just kind of like, Harper and Rowan are one of these people, those two guys who I kind of go, I've accepted that WWE are probably never going to do much with them, but now and then they will get to come back and have a little bit of a push, and I'm going to enjoy that whenever it happens.
Yeah. And I want it to lead to more. I always want it to lead to more. And honestly, I want to see the Bludgeon Brothers versus the Fashion Police. That's a feud I want to see happen, because I think it would be really good.
I also think it's kind of interesting that they've kind of kept the Fashion Police out of this whole Survivor Series thing. I think
yeah, because they haven't been on TV at all. Like, we didn't get any Fashion Files this week again.
Yeah, I mean, I actually think it's probably for the best, because if they don't have, like, something to do with anybody on Raw, then they just kind of become job guys in the background. So I prefer that they're maybe not part of it, if that's the case.
I kind of wish that there would be a Fashion Files at Survivor Series where some of the Raw people are involved.
See, what I would like to see, but they've now done like Stranger Things. I would like to see the Fashion Police be like Eleven in Stranger Things, where they basically go through like this kind of like into this other universe, and when they get in, they're in the swamp of Bray Wyatt.
Oh my gosh, that would be the coolest ever!
They won't do it.
They won't, but that would be the coolest ever.
See, I could book for you if I needed to.
Yeah.
I just, you know, think about when I did LSD one time and how it felt. Chad Gable's in the ring for a match with Jimmy Uso. It's Chad Gable is trying to be a heel. Jimmy Uso is not. And in the end, Jimmy Uso gets the win in about 7 minutes. God, Gable and Benjamin are just cold. Like,
it sucks. It sucks that I'm not into Chad Gable right now. Like, I still am. I still really enjoy the match. I still really, really like Chad Gable, but they're just doing nothing. And there's really nothing to cling to here. And it's like, it sucks because he's one of my favorites and I don't want to feel lukewarm about this match. Like, I really, really like the Usos. I really, really like Chad Gable. Shelton Benjamin, I wanted to like a lot, but he hasn't really done much yet. So I don't know. Like, I want this to heat up. I want something to happen. I want it to be more interesting. It's just not right now. And the wrestling's good. The wrestling's really, really good. But it's not really enough.
Yeah, like, I think that's where you and I just differ as wrestling fans. Like, I don't really care if the wrestling's good unless I'm into what's going on. And that's kind of always been my thing. And yeah, I'm just not into what's going on. I'm just like, oh, the Usos! I can't wait to see them fight Sheamus and Cesaro, or see them fight the Bludgeon Brothers. American Alpha 2.0, I'm just like, they're so saved by the Bell and New Class. They're so saved by the Bell and New Class.
Yeah, they kind of are, and it sucks, because Chad Gable is one of my favorites. Like, I have the Chad Gable towel, and I was like...
Has JBL not called you and told you to put it away because you're an adult?
No, he hasn't, and I would tell him to fuck off. Fucking Blackjack Bradshaw.
you only have another consistent 10 years of Raw with him. No more. Ugh. 12.
Ugh. Why, Kenny? Why?
Because he loves Vince McMahon's dick.
I do not love him, though.
At
all.
So,
but yeah, I wish that I were more into Chad Gable versus the Usos.
Now,
thing.
In exciting news, they said, you know, obviously the Survivor Series matches, and that on Sunday they will reveal the fifth member of the women's SmackDown team, and I think it's going to be Paige. I think it's going to be Paige.
I hope so. That would be so excellent.
Because what I think they should do with Natalia is she should come out as if she is the fifth member, and she should be the coach with her whistle.
Yes! And then Coach Natalia versus Captain Alicia. Uh-huh. Like, I mean, that's the ideal scenario.
It writes
itself. And also,
itself.
Smacked... What?
It writes itself.
It does. And, I mean, also, SmackDown desperately needs more women on its roster, right? Like, it desperately needs more women on its roster, and Paige would be an excellent addition, I feel.
I concur. We had Sami Zayn complain to Kevin Owens backstage about not being involved in Survivor Series. He also complained about Shane having a vendetta against them and that they should be facing the Shield instead of the New Day. I mean, to be fair, the New Day kind of earned it, but I get where they're coming from. They called the New Day a circus act, dancing and feeding cereal to people. Owens said A show or B show didn't matter. It was all about the Sami and Kevin show. Sami said it was the Kevin and Sami show, and they walked off. They are such beautiful friends that... Well, beautiful friends that are going to turn on each other at some point. But for now, they are beautiful friends. So,
yep, for now, they are beautiful friends, and I love it. And annoyed Sami Zayn continues to be my everything. Like, I don't know. Sami Zayn is just my voice of reason on SmackDown. I just love
it. That explains so much about your personality.
It really does. You've met me.
The guy,
you know it's true.
Sami Zayn is literally the guy that rubs most people up the wrong way. And you're like, I really believe in him. You're like, all right, okay.
I do. Unironically.
Unironically.
Unironically, he is my favourite.
The New Day make their entrance. They talk about Survivor Series being the only time of the year Raw and SmackDown compete. It's going to be the Hounds of Justice versus the Unicorns. I never thought I'd hear that as a thing. Kofi questions why anyone would want to be called the dog and eat their own poop. He talks about Sunday and, you know, why, you know, they're the team that haven't turned each other before. Unity made them stronger.
Ooh. I didn't like all this unity talk. Because whenever there's lots of unity talk and, you know, we're the team that's never turned on each other, that means someone's going to turn on someone else and I don't like it and I am so not ready for the New Day to break up.
Xavier said the only reason the Shield were back together was because of cuffing season, which is a reference to, I looked it up and I'm not really too sure if this makes sense, but apparently it's a reference to Black Twitter, where people apparently get back together with their ex to feel better about themselves. But I don't really understand why that would be Black Twitter.
Because it's just a thing that people say on Black Twitter.
What is Black Twitter?
Like Twitter for black people.
Oh, okay, right. Well, the way that it was written there, I was like, does that mean for black people? Or is there like is there a black Twitter that I don't know about? Is there like an underground
of
Twitter?
Do you think that it was like YouTube Red or something?
I need to like pay like by Bitcoin service to get to it, and like it's like a underground siege. Anyway, Kevin and Sammy come out, we get the main event. The main event goes for a while, and then, you know, as it's kind of getting going, Sami Zayn gets a suplex on by Big E, and then Kevin Owens gets tossed out to the floor, and then the Shield interrupt. They come through the crowd. Out of 10, Sondra, 10 being the best, what would you give the Shield's sewing skills of half-and-half t-shirts?
Those half-and-half t-shirts were so incredibly distracting. Like, so incredibly distracting.
Why?
I could not stop looking at them.
They're so good! I kinda want one, but I would never want to wear it in public. Like,
I mean, you could make that happen. You could buy a Raw shirt and you could buy a Shield shirt. And
no.
You could have a half Raw, half Shield
shirt. I'd want to, like, wear it in the house and admire the craftsmanship, but never have anyone see me in it.
Just take a selfie and put it on Twitter.
Yeah, probably. So the Shield interrupt, they brawl with the New Day. What was so great about it is the New Day are in the ring with Sammy and Kevin, and you knew it was going to happen. Sammy and Kevin, the New Day, it's 5-on-3, and then Sammy and Kevin just roll out the ring and leave, because they are not getting involved. The Shield start beating up the New Day, then the Usos come down, then the Bar come in, and then we see the Raw women's team invade the SmackDown women's locker room. Charlotte's kind of the last one left, and then Alexa Bliss shows up and just whacks her right in the face with a slap that was tremendous. In the arena, Team Raw's kind of dominating. SmackDown roster's trying, then Braun Strowman's music hits when Kurt Angle brings him out. He's wrecking the place. Shane McMahon's held down by the Shield, and everyone's slapping Shane around. Then Kurt Angle gets in Shane's face and told him if he thought this was bad, wait till Sunday. He then gave the signal for the Shield to triple powerbomb Shane. Then he hit an angle slam. Then we got another triple powerbomb on Shane. Basically, Raw killed SmackDown. I probably dread to ask this question. I feel like I get like Shane getting comeuppance. I felt like by the end of it, it was like, is nobody gonna help the guy now? Like, he's been murdered several times.
It was baffling that no one came to his aid. I mean, it was incredibly cathartic for me to see Shane McMahon get battered around for starting all of
and
this.
And to be
right?
fair,
it is still his fault.
At least he does take it all. Like, if Stephanie would take this amount of beating, like, once every 6 months, you could kind of maybe get a bit more on board with her. But she does not.
Does not ever.
The problem was with the Raw roster. Like, Raw had Finn Balor and Samoa Joe and, you know, Braun Strowman and all that. And then, like... But, like, SmackDown didn't have John Cena or Randy Orton.
Randy Orton just couldn't be bothered this week, apparently.
They didn't have Rusev.
Shocking.
Rusev.
Yeah, where was Rusev?
Well, they didn't have Rusev, they didn't have Aiden English, they didn't have Jinder, they didn't have a ton of people, so...
They were there, too, which is the baffling part, because you saw Rusev in the pep rally scene. You saw Aiden English in the pep rally scene. You saw Jinder backstage with AJ. So, where were they exactly?
Yeah, it was interesting.
I mean, everyone seemed all fired up for Team SmackDown at the beginning of the show. Apparently, when shit goes down, team loyalty is just not as prevalent.
But I thought it was a really hot close to the show and got you kind of into like, what's going to happen on Sunday? There's so much stuff. And I mean, like, when you look at like Survivor Series as a card, like, it's pretty stacked. Like,
oh, it is. I mean, can't wait.
I think this has the potential to be the second best Big Four pay-per-view behind WrestleMania. I'm more excited about this show than any Big Four this year apart from WrestleMania. I'm more excited about this than I was for Rumble, more excited about this than I was for SummerSlam. Like, so we've got Enzo and Kalisto on the kickoff show, who cares? But then we've got Miz and Baron Corbin, which could be okay. We've got Sheamus and Cesaro against the Usos.
I'm excited for that one.
Alexa Bliss and Charlotte Flair. The Shield and the New Day. Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Sasha, and Bayley against Becky Lynch, Carmella, Naomi, Tamina, and probably Paige. Brock Lesnar versus AJ Styles, and then Kurt Angle, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Triple H against Shane McMahon, Randy Orton, Bobby Roode, Nakamura, and John Cena. I mean,
it's
mental.
Stacked card. Like, it's this very stacked card. I really can't wait. And even though, you know, I have my reservations about Shane and attacking first and the whole Under Siege thing, I will say that they managed to make compelling television out of it. And I feel like there are a lot of opportunities to set up storytelling going forward from Survivor Series. Because that's another thing with these Survivor Series elimination matches. There's a lot of opportunity for, you know, someone to not help someone else out, or, you know, we were talking about the possibility of shenanigans with Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and possibly, you know, Jinder Mahal and Rusev. There are so many opportunities for things to go so right at Survivor Series. And I don't have this sense of dread that I normally do when I'm like, oh, there's such an opportunity for it to be good. And then it'll suck. Right. Yeah. Because a lot of times as wrestling fans, we kind of go, oh, well, they're not going to do it right. I feel like they actually might, because they've been building to something really cool. So here's hoping, I guess. I mean, I can't wait for Sunday.
And when you look at the guys on Raw, Jason, Jordan, Kane, even Bray Wyatt, they're not doing anything. Sami Zayn, right. Kevin Owens, Rusev, Aiden English, Jinder Mahal, there's all these people. Honestly, this is my favorite episode of SmackDown since the Superstar Shakeup.
Is it?
Because I feel like for the first time since then, I feel like SmackDown has been rebalanced as a show. I feel like we've got the right champions in place. We've got interesting things to come, you know, coming up on Sunday. Charlotte with the women's belt. Becky's got a story going on with Asuka. We've got AJ as the world champion. We've got Bryan doing something interesting. We've got Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens being really interesting dicks. We've got the New Day embroiled in a big feud with the Shield where they seem more interesting. Rusev and Aiden English and Jinder are all kind of like cast aside. It's much more interesting for me than it's been in 6 months. So this is the most thumbs up I could give SmackDown in a long, long time, to a point where I thought it was a better show than Raw this week, and I really enjoyed Raw. So, big props to SmackDown from me. I think that they are on the road to it being an interesting show again, and I'm all for it. Thank God. I've spent enough time covering this show and wanting to self-harm.
It's so nice to have the pieces finally back in place, right? Like, I feel like we're watching SmackDown, and SmackDown feels like it has its own identity, and SmackDown feels like, I don't know, everything just feels a little more right with the world, with AJ Styles and Charlotte being champions. I mean, Baron Corbin, but I'll take 2 out of 3. It was 0 out of 3 for a long time. And, well, I guess not for a long time, because AJ Styles was the US champion, and that weirdly didn't work.
Styles,
like,
it was 0. Didn't work.
Yeah. It didn't really work that well. So AJ Styles as WWE champion works far better for me. And yeah, like, SmackDown it's on a roll right now. And let's not have another shakeup anytime soon. Things go badly whenever there's a shakeup or a draft or whatever. Let's go with this SmackDown and see what we can do with it. Big thumbs up for me from this episode as well. Like, it's so good.
And I think it's what's really good about it is that, like, all of us here at Inside the Ropes, we're all interested in Survivor Series and excited for it, which is what I was hoping would happen when the Siege thing happened a few weeks ago. And it could have gone a completely different way. So I'm glad that they've done... It's not like they've hit 10 out of 10, you know, because we've got Stephanie and stuff. But, like, for the most part, they've hit some really interesting strides, and they've stacked the card, and I think it's... Yeah, I'm really excited about it. I do want to say very quickly, before we go, and you need to go in a second, Sandra, I want to say something about James Ellsworth.
Oh, James Ellsworth has been released. I saw that just before we started to record.
Yeah, I feel really bad. I don't feel bad for the guy. Like, I think he's had a great run, and, like, good for him. Like, I wasn't thrilled that he pinned AJ Styles or anything, but I thought he was really fun when he was, you know, the man with two hands has a fighting chance, and he was the team mascot of Survivor Series, and they invaded Raw, and Jericho's like, "What is that?" And
then him grabbing Braun Strowman's foot last year
and getting revenge, and then
it was so good.
The no chin music thing to AJ with the near fall was tremendous. Then he became Carmella's lackey, and it was kind of weird and wacky, but it just kind of worked. I love that he cost the first ever women's Money in the Bank ladder match. That was great. He got his comeuppance in Becky last week. So yeah, I think he had a really good run, and good for him, and I hope that he managed to find his feet somewhere in the Indies. I'm sure he will, and I'm sure we'll see him at some point on some sort of, like, you know, I think next year is SmackDown's 1,000th episode. So I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little Ellsworth cameo there.
I think that would be excellent. I mean, it sucks for anyone to lose their job, obviously. And I think James Ellsworth was a very valuable part of SmackDown in the past year. I really think he added a lot, especially to Carmella. So I don't know. I enjoyed having him around. I thought he was really fun. I'm kind of bummed that he's gone, but at least he is going before it got stale or before they really didn't know what to do with him. And I understand them, you know, not having anything more for him at this point. So if he had a year deal, I mean, the guy had a great year. He never thought he would get to WWE. Like, he got to live his dream for a year, which is super cool.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm not going to say any stupid voice of wrestling stuff, but last week I did say, you know, I think this might be the time where he goes, because the Carmella story was wrapped up and stuff. And
yeah.
Sometimes it's better to go out in a high than it is to stay, because I remember Daivari did an interview with us a few years ago and he said, go out when you're remembered as being a big part of the show. And he was. Mm-hmm. So, anyway, where can people find you on Twitter, Sandra?
Find me on Twitter at SandraRuthRW. Find Kenny on Twitter at KennyMC1985. Follow Inside the Ropes at Inside_the Ropes. And to hear us talk about Survivor Series coming up, to hear us talk about retro Survivor Series, I don't know, a thing happened in 1997 that we just discussed a little bit over
only,
on Patreon
only over
last
three
week.
Podcasts.
Only over three podcasts. Patreon.com/InsideTheRopes for loads and loads of bonus content. Tons of stuff going up there all the time.
We just hit 607 subscribers. I cannot believe
that's
this
so
is continuing
crazy.
To
thank
raise.
You, everyone. That's
thank
so
thank you
cool.
very much. And it genuinely does let all of us do more stuff for you. So thank you very much for all of your contributions. It helps us very much. And like I say, yeah, so starting with Survivor Series on the $5 level, you will be able to get the big four pay-per-view reviews: Royal Rumble, WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series. That's the only place they are going to be. So head on over there, sign up to the $5 level, or upgrade from a $3 if that's what you're at. If you want to hear us talk about Survivor Series, Sandra, Dave and I will be recording it right after the pay-per-view. I'm sure we'll probably go about 2 hours, as we always do with big shows.
Yep.
So yeah, and to play us out, here is the theme tune of Carmella to remind us of the one and only James Ellsworth. We'll be back next week. Have a good one.
Bye.
F-A-B-U-L-O-U.